Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way that we think about and listen to the world. This is May 28th, 2024. And before we get started, I would invite you to join us over in our chat room over on Facebook. We have a private group that you can ask to join. And, you know, I always say I'm not that great of a multitasker, so I try to look at your comments. And but I certainly know that you're there. So thank you so much for, you know, coming in and making your comments. And as I can, I probably will respond to them during the show. I may or may not write anything, but I will try to respond to them. So thanks for coming in and joining me. And, you know, I see people over there, Leslie and Ann and Coeli. Thanks for being here. And I know that sooner or later, there's going to be a few others who are always there. Renee. Hi, Renee. Thank you for coming in. Well, what we're going to talk about today, we're going to continue our look at Jupiter in Gemini. And we're also going to be looking at the cosmic dance for the week of May 27th, because, of course, it all ties in. You know, we had that Jupiter move into Gemini last week. It was Saturday, May 25th. I mean, literally just a few days ago. And it is already playing a big role in some of the things that are going on this week. So we're going to start exploring those. And hopefully, you know, with Gemini, it's one of those dual signs. It's one of those, you know, it's a twins. It's bouncing back and forth. And in fact, as I was putting my notes together this weekend, I kept thinking, you know, I'm bouncing from here to here to here to here. And I thought, boy, I hope it doesn't sound all disconnected when I actually get on the radio and start talking about this stuff. But quite honestly, if it does, I think we just need to sit back and laugh a little bit, because that's Gemini. You know, that's the mental air energy of Gemini, which is a communicator. In fact, I really believe that Gemini's mission is to learn to be an excellent communicator. But like many, many things in life, we often do it badly before we do it really well. We learn from our mistakes. I mean, that's the advantage. You know, we learn to write well, or we learn what works when we're speaking. We learn what captures somebody's attention. You know, with Gemini too, and we're going to explore some of these ideas, there's also this kind of game that we play that I'd say is a game with the truth. And, you know, in some ways, I think that truth can be a real moving target, because what's a truth for you? What's a truth for me? Or what's true in a particular situation? And I'm not trying to indicate that there aren't hard and fast rules, maybe, about what's okay or what's ethical. But think about it this way. If you were working in public relations, you know, in media, which is a very Gemini kind of occupation, well, you know, you kind of stretch the truth a little bit. We are the greatest. We're the, you know, only one in the world that can do this for you. I mean, you don't sell products by convincing somebody, okay, we're just okay. We're satisfactory, but maybe you should look someplace else. So what is acceptable when you're doing marketing, or acceptable when you're doing public relations? Well, not public relations, but what's acceptable when you're trying to market a product, or describe something, or do a commercial? We give people a little bit more leeway in terms of stretching the truth. Now, we don't want somebody to out and out lie to us, but let's face it, we give people a little more leeway. Or let's say that you're writing a piece of fiction. That's completely different than when you're supposed to be writing a news article that is reporting the facts. Who, what, when, why, how. And so we don't give reporters as much leeway as we would a person writing a novel. And that's a big distinction. I remember years ago, and in fact, I probably talked about it on the show, about somebody had written a book, and it turns out she passed it off as being an actual experience that she had. And yet, come to find out, after several years and things going on, somebody wanted to make a movie of the book. And when she was really pressed, it turned out she made up the story because it was an exciting adventure. Now, there's nothing wrong. I think she would have done really well. I think she would have sold maybe millions of copies. It was a wonderful adventure story. But to this day, I wonder why did she have to tell people it was true? And I don't know what happened after that, because she had quite the following. And so I don't know if people that were really following her just kind of dispersed once they found out she had made up the story. I don't know what happened, because I wasn't one of her followers to start with. But that would be the typical thing. Gemini plays with words. They enjoy words. They enjoy communication. How far can I go? You know, what's going to be the most impressive? But sometimes we go too far. Or, you know, think about the little white lie. Does this dress make me look fat? Well, come on. Now, what is somebody going to say? And so there's all levels of, in a sense, telling the truth, telling the whole truth, lying, or lies through omission. And see, there again, I want you to think about this, because these are some of the things we're really going to play with. While Jupiter, the biggest planet in our solar system outside of the sun, is sitting in Gemini, we're going to stretch things to the limit, and or we're going to figure out how far can we go. Well, you know, how do you hit that sweet spot of being that orator, or being that writer, or being that communicator, and doing it really effectively? But sometimes we're likely to cross the line. Maybe we don't even know that we're crossing the line. Maybe we see it as, I'm just trying to make this person feel better. You know, I'm doing it because they don't need to know the whole truth about what I really think. And, you know, let's face it, that is true. We don't have to go into a room and tell every single person exactly what we think about their clothes or their hair or anything else, right? So with Jupiter in Gemini, we are going to be playing with some of those concepts. But I would also like to kind of spark this interest, and this is a time to practice being a communicator, practice networking. And in fact, this week's mantra, you know, that's how I've been phrasing it recently. This week's mantra, once again, is going to sound really familiar. It's about belonging and what that means to each of us. The longing to belong, the longing to connect with other people. And I'm going to explain that. I'm really putting it in terms also of something going on this week that's pretty important, which is Jupiter, having newly arrived in Gemini, makes a perfect trine, 120 degrees, which in astrology terms is a very strong, productive kind of connection between planets. It's when two planets are almost at their best in terms of working together. Well, Jupiter's going to do that with Pluto. Pluto's sitting over in Aquarius. And so that's an important thing that's going on this week. And I would also say it's one of the more important connections that Jupiter is going to make in this next year. During these 12 months, when Jupiter's sitting in Gemini, it's also going to square Saturn. Those are going to be important connections. It's also going to be conjunct Mars. But this connection right off the bat, in the very beginning with Pluto, I believe really sets a tone for how the next 12 months are going to unfold, at least in terms of Jupiter. And always remember too, in astrology, there's lots of things going on. So something going on in your life, you might go, oh, that's Jupiter. Well, and somebody else might say, yeah, that's Jupiter, but maybe it's also Pluto. Or maybe it's the combination of the two of them. Or maybe it's something else over here. You know, maybe it's that Mars preparing to go retrograde at the end of the year. And on one hand, I don't think you have to know exactly what it is. I mean, it's more fun to just say, yeah, how do all these factors work? I mean, even think like in the medical community. You know, if you've got a sore throat or there's something going on, you know, is it going to be one single thing that's going on? Well, you know, doctors probably would like to think so. Maybe they want to test you for strep throat. Go, yeah, that's what's going on here. But, you know, oftentimes it's a combination of things. You know, there's a lot of wind blowing right now. There's allergens all over the place in certain parts of the country. So maybe this is a temporary two-day thing where you've got an allergy thing going on. So it's not something more serious that you might kind of jump to that conclusion. Well, it's similar in astrology, because all of these planets represent consciousness. You know, they don't do anything to us. Please remember that. They're not doing anything to us. They are simply representing mass consciousness for us. And as such, though, they can really kind of give us some insight if we use them as our tool. Because astrology can be a tool for understanding yourself better, for understanding other people, for understanding life in general, or psychological processes. Think about it that way. You know, you could go study Freud, and you could study all kinds of famous psychologists, or use any other lens that you want to. Maybe you want to use a spiritual lens. But astrology is just one of those lenses that if you look at it, you go, ooh, look at that. That Jupiter is our need to find meaning in our lives. And Pluto is a planet that represents transformation. So what are we going to do? What are we going to turn upside down? What are we going to transform in order to find more meaning in our lives? So those are some of the things I want you to think about. But this week in particular, we've got these two air signs. You know, we've got Jupiter in Gemini, Pluto in Aquarius. And so those kinds of signs, it's all, you know, it's very, very mental energy. And it's about connecting with other people. Now, we don't have anything in Libra, which is the third of the air signs. But that will play a part eventually, too. And just that idea, what kind of connection do I want to have with other people? And how do I play with all of those connections? So see, there again, I think that's going to be a theme that is running through our lives for 20 years because of Pluto sitting in Aquarius, you know, as a background kind of, you know, that's the background music playing. But with Jupiter highlighting that air energy in the next year, I think those are some of the things we're going to talk a lot about. Who are we connecting with? Why are we connecting with them? You know, how do we view truth? How do we view, you know, our connections to each other and what we're willing to accept and what we're not? So here again, when Jupiter entered Gemini last Saturday, it was, of course, at zero Gemini, and Pluto was at one Aquarius. But you may remember that Pluto is also moving retrograde. So they were moving closer and closer together. They were less than 1 degree apart. And so that's a pretty tight trine, even though it would have been perfect if it was 0-0. But this Sunday, this coming Sunday, June 2nd, is when they actually are going to be in a perfect trine. So this is an energy that was already working the minute Jupiter went into Gemini, but it sets the tone, it sets the pattern, and right off the bat, I mean, you know, you might even look at it, what is the first aspect, what's the first important aspect that Jupiter makes as soon as it goes into Gemini? Well, I would argue it's that connection with Pluto in Aquarius. So to me, that's setting a tone that I may not look at it every single day, but I am going to just kind of keep it in the back of my mind because I think it's an important thing going on. And for those of you, maybe if you were asleep, you know, yes, Jupiter went into Gemini and it's going to be there through next June. Technically, it's May 25th of this year through June 9th of next year. And it will also retrograde, though, October through February. For those of you who want to keep track of that, or maybe you're a Gemini, so you want to have a heads up on that. But here's another thing, and some of these things we talked about last week, but you may want to review or you may want to write them down. The last time that Jupiter was in Gemini was June of 2012 through June of 2013. And I bring that up because I think it's always interesting to go back and look at previous periods and see what was going on either in the world or what was going on for me specifically. Can I identify a pattern? Can I identify things that were coming to the surface? You know, things that I wanted to look at, things that were just happening for me. Now, remember, though, these periods are not identical. In fact, I don't know how they calculate this. I'm sure it's super duper computer, but they say to get the planets all in exactly the same alignment, you know, to repeat a natal chart, in other words, it would take 26,000 years. So the last time that Jupiter was in Gemini, Pluto was in Capricorn. You know, Pluto was not in Aquarius. So this is going to be a different kind of feeling. Saturn was in a different location. Neptune was likely in another location. So was Uranus. So we don't have the identical picture, but there might be some similarities. And here again, if you're one of these people like me, you know, you like, and we haven't talked about this yet, but, you know, you like to look at your own chart and say, okay, where's all the Gemini energy? So where is Jupiter likely to be bringing me luck, to be bringing me opportunities and benefit at this time, in this year? You look for where Gemini is sitting in your natal chart. And that's going to be an area of your life. I'm not going to say everything is happening there, but that's where you're going to notice opportunities coming to you. Maybe you're attracting people. Maybe you're attracting jobs. Maybe you're just attracting ideas, experiences. Because, of course, that's what Gemini likes to do, is collect experiences, collect ideas, you know, learn new things. This is a sign that is ruled by Mercury, which also brings me to a point that Mercury is pretty active this week, too. Now, remember, Mercury really does, you know, it travels pretty quickly, and astrologically, because it's close to the sun, it always looks to us like it's just zipping around. Well, this week it connects with Saturn, it connects with Uranus, the planet of individuality, which, by the way, is also the ruler of Aquarius, which is where Pluto is. But Mercury also connects with Neptune, the planet of spirituality. So here again, if you're looking at what is the pattern of this week, what's going on? We've got Mercury, 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 and Mercury's the ruler of Gemini. And see, that's fascinating to me. As we see the trends, as we start putting the threads together, it's almost like we can't turn away from Gemini. And of course, we don't want to, but the sun is in Gemini right now. Venus is in Gemini. So, you know, we've got all this, we're in the season of Gemini, but especially with Jupiter having just moved there. And then this week, we also have Mercury going, look at me, I'm the planet of communication, and this is what I'm doing this week. I connected with Saturn on Monday, I'm connecting with Uranus late Thursday night, light bulbs are going off, and I'm going to connect with gentle and spiritual and compassionate and intuitive Neptune on Sunday. So see, that all feeds into the picture of what's going on. So if you feel like, especially in this show, or this week, you're just going Gemini, 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 or Mercury, Mercury, and now it's Jupiter, and now it's Pluto, and now it's Aquarius, and it all seems to start getting mixed up into a soup, well, you're right, because that's what's happening. And Mercury is that archetype of being the public speaker, the writer, the messenger, the person who's telling the stories and collecting information. It's also where there's two sides to everything. For everything I say, you could probably come up with something that's exactly the opposite. Because there again, it's the Gemini twins. But being able to look at those opposites is very important. And the reason it's very important, or one of them, I should say, is because Jupiter is a ruler of Sagittarius. And here again, we didn't mention Sag much, but Jupiter is the ruler of Sagittarius. That's the opposite sign of Gemini. And I mentioned last week that Jupiter is considered to be what we call in detriment, uncomfortable somewhat, in the sign that's opposite the one it rules. So when it's in Gemini, it's considered in detriment. So, you know, how is that going to play out? What does that really mean? You know, to some extent, it means that Sagittarius, to me, if I contrast Gemini and Sag, I'd say Gemini loves to collect. It loves to have all the books, all the information, all the facts. It's like, give it to me, give it to me. I want to learn. But eventually Sag says, but you know what? It needs to mean something. I need to string these ideas together. I need to have a story. It's not enough to be all over the place. Don't just, you know, even see, hey, you're throwing me Mercury, you're throwing me Gemini, you're throwing all these factoids. I need a story. I need to figure out how it all fits together. So we struggle with that. And that's one of the things we're going to want to do is, what is the story for me? What is the story I'm telling myself? But going back to those different sides, I really do believe it's so important, because Every time we learn something new, and this may happen maybe when we're younger, maybe even more so, but it continues to happen our whole lives. And that is, we learn something new and we recognize that it doesn't quite fit perfectly with what we knew before, or it may not fit perfectly with this little, you know, philosophy that we have going for ourselves. So are we going to choose to be the person who says, okay, that fact doesn't fit, so it must not be a fact? Or are we going to be the person who says, maybe I need to change the picture? Maybe I need to change the story. And I would suggest that to really learn, you've got to be willing to change the story. Now, it doesn't mean you change the story every time you hear anything. In fact, we have to be very discerning, which Sagittarius is. Then we can be very mental with Mercury. We can be very discerning with those factoids coming in. But if we're never going to let something new enter our consciousness and change the story or change our belief about what we're seeing, what we're doing, what we're feeling, then we're not going to learn anything. You know, we just got a static little pot of here's the information, I have my personal philosophy, and nothing's going to change it. And I'm sure that we have all experienced this, not only in our own lives, but, you know, certainly in just the whole world climate right now, where people are stuck in what they think. And so if something new comes in, then it must be false instead of even being considered. And you know where I also see this sometimes is with little kids. In fact, it can be quite funny. You know, they'll tell you a story about, you know, because they want something usually. I want the cookie, or I want to go, you know, whatever. And they just continue to kind of change or, you know, stick with something based on what it is that they want. So if it coincides with what they want, then it's good information. If it doesn't, then they've got all kinds of reasons about why it isn't true. And like I said, in a little kid, it can actually be quite funny, you know, to see how willing they are to bend, to make, you know, to keep their goal of what they want. Yep, I want to go to the store and get a piece of candy. Or I want to go over here. I want to go to the amusement park. Or what, you know, no, it's not going to rain. Those dark clouds or something else, you know. It truly can be quite funny. And even in ourselves, it can be funny. So, you know, that's the other thing. Don't take yourself too seriously. Gemini in many, many ways is not a serious sign. It's a playful sign. It's a youthful sign. So maybe we just kind of laugh at ourselves and go, yeah, how stuck was I in that idea? And I just couldn't even see something because it didn't fit my mold. It didn't fit what I thought I was going to see. That kind of thing. In fact, it was kind of funny. Last night, I was in the yard with my dog, and there was something laying on the ground. And it was one of those situations where in the light, I would have been able to see exactly what it was. And in fact, I had a flashlight. So I kind of kept putting the flashlight over it. But I'll tell you what, it almost looked like a little snake. And I kept telling myself, I have never seen a snake in where I live. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't any. I'm not saying there's not. But it was just very, very unlikely that this was a snake. And it wasn't moving, even when I flashed the light on it. But I remember having this, what I call cognitive dissonance, because I couldn't quite figure out what it was. And even in my mind, I said, well, you know, that looks like something off a such and such tree, but we don't have any of those trees here. So then I'm like, okay, you know, it was just one of those process, because I couldn't make this object fit into my existing catalog of, you know, what could be sitting on the ground. And so it was really intriguing because part of me, I wanted to go up and touch it. And then I didn't. I thought, what if this really is some kind of an incredible insect of some sort, you know, 2 or 3 inches long and whatever. Well, it turns out it was just something, a leaf that had curled in a certain way, you know, a piece of a branch and leaf. But it was funny because it was very much what I'm talking about. I couldn't fit it into my encyclopedia of knowledge. You know, it didn't fit. And I just struggled for, okay, then how do I approach it? Do I leave it alone in case it is something alive? Do I go over and try to pick it up? Or do I just dismiss it and just go, okay, let it be? You don't have to understand it. And in some ways, all those are kind of Gemini concepts, or maybe Jupiter in Gemini. I want to explore. I want to know what this is. But I can't relate it to anything that I know at this time. So, you know, we're going to have those kind of experiences. Now, I know that one in some ways is just like a little silliness, but I'd also say, you know, this is about getting the best of both worlds. In fact, I'd say that because we're getting that wonderful Gemini energy, all of that new information, learning, getting all the facts, experiencing things. But we also get the flip side of Jupiter and Sagittarius of going, okay, and so how does this change the story? How does the story evolve? And I think so instead of saying, well, Jupiter's in detriment, it's not comfortable, it doesn't like being here, maybe we can just see it as we're getting the best of both worlds when we're willing to combine them. So when we look at Jupiter in Gemini, there's a few things that we didn't go over last week that or maybe we touched upon them, but I just want to emphasize them this week. And that is, once again, Gemini strengths, you know, really are about being verbal, you know, communicating, maybe being funny, being witty, being versatile, being the learner. But you know what? They're also very inventive and they're humanistic too. But that's going to be especially true because we've got the inflow of that energy of Pluto in Aquarius at the same time. Aquarius is the sign of humanity, being altruistic, being progressive. So that's going to be a strong thread that goes on. So I want to give you the example of a few people that were born with Jupiter in Gemini, and maybe how we can see some of these characteristics working out in their lives. Now, of course, once again, there's all kinds of other things. I'm not talking about their sun signs, and we know sun signs are important, but I'm twisting this, or I'm kind of making it according to Jupiter in Gemini. We're saying that at least I think it's an example of it. But we might also, at some point, if we looked at their charts, we might find even more evidence based on their sun sign or some other things going on. So let's just start looking at a few of these people. And I just thought I'd go into the chat room and see if there's any more comments. And okay, it's not coming up for me. I guess I have to refresh it. So let's just go ahead and go this. Okay, so here's one person. Talk about being a communicator or being a bridge, a person who is a messenger. Oprah Winfrey. But one of the things she does that's interesting, or when you think of everything, but certainly she had a magazine or does have a magazine. She has her own cable network. She did a talk show forever. Now, I don't know if she's doing that now or not, but she did that. But she also had a book club. Do you remember how, you know, I don't know exactly how it worked, but she'd select books or they'd all talk about books, or that was a big part of what she was doing, or promoting learning through a book club. But once again, just look at everything she did, you know, and having multiple careers is a very Gemini thing. So here she was an actress. She was a TV personality. She's a writer. She's an educator. Magazine mogul, business mogul, whatever you want to say. But she has Jupiter in Gemini. But bringing reading to the masses, you know, really promoting education, promoting words and books. Another person who had Jupiter in Gemini was Stephen Hawking. And interesting because, of course, the alternate form of communication. When he could no longer speak normally, which I think was at around age 20, 21, you know, speaking mechanically, speaking through a computer. And not to mention his whole life, just the way he thought, just such brilliance there with him. But Jane Austen, the author, also was a person who had Jupiter in Gemini. And there again, I would also say her books have withstood the test of time, but also because she had some pretty independent and provocative things to say specifically about women and or the relationships between men and women. Also, when you get into this idea about, you know, I want to say it's not just so much about the truth, but being provocative. And almost like, for instance, Gemini can be associated a little bit with the idea of being a trickster. And when I say a trickster, certainly we can be talking about the tarot, magician, but we talk about the court jester. That person who kind of who tells you the funny story, but there is a moral involved in it, or provokes you, pushes you to see something about yourself that maybe you should look at, and nobody else could tell you the truth that way. But the trickster can. Sometimes, and the trickster in many societies, unfortunately, often is the one who is punished, killed, violated, punished, because we often don't want to see the truth about something. So there is an element of that trickster energy in Gemini that we want to cajole somebody or prod somebody or provoke somebody into seeing the truth about themselves or about society in general. So, like one of the people that had Jupiter in Gemini, Betty Ford. Now, you may not automatically see her as a trickster, but one of the things she did is she did something that in some ways was very controversial. She was a first lady with an alcohol problem. And she eventually talked about that problem and even established the Betty Ford Center. Now, see, think about how many people are going, oh, no, you can't put that out there. You can't do that. That's not the image of a first lady. And the whole bit, that was a very controversial thing to do, but she decided to push that forward and to just bring that into the light. So, like I said, I don't see it so much as a trickster as much as, maybe she, I mean, I don't know what you want to say, an educator or a person who wanted to be a mentor, a person who wanted to tell the truth. Another person who I do think is a trickster, Michael Moore, the movie maker. If you look at the movies that he has made, they almost all have social or political or economic commentary and messages about life, especially life in the United States, but life in general. He did the movie Roger and Me, which was about the automotive industry in Michigan. A really blatant and very, moving and searing expose about what was going on in that part of the country and specifically to the automotive industry. He did the movie Bowling for Columbine, after the mass shooting there, which was important because it was, I'm not going to say the first, but it was one of the first that really started bringing attention to what was going on with the gun culture in the United States. And he made the movie Sicko, which is about healthcare and policy. And quite honestly, I mean, he has just made so many movies. I mean, we can't go through all of them. But Michael Moore is somewhat synonymous with the movie maker, the educator, the person who is the trickster. He is going to maybe make you laugh. Maybe he's going to make you cry. But he is, here again, if you saw it as a kingdom and there was a trickster or a jester, the court jester, he is the court jester who says, I'm not going to let you just sit there on your throne and I'm going to make you look at some things. I'm going to help you see them. Now, another part of this, when you go to a little bit slightly darker side, is Martha Stewart. Now, I know that sounds weird, darker side, but the reason I bring her up is because, of course, once again, think about who she was. She was a TV personality. She, has her own magazine, media mogul, right? But she ended up going to jail. But what's interesting about her going to jail is that she didn't so much go to jail for what she was being questioned about, which was insider trading. Stock market stuff. She went to jail because she was caught lying to the federal investigators. Now, I'm not saying they wouldn't have eventually convicted her on the insider trading, but I think that's an interesting kind of Gemini thing. She pushed the limit. She thought she could, and here again, I'm not that familiar with it, but I just know that ultimately the charges that sent her to prison were lying. They had to do with making false statements, not specifically the insider trading. And so I bring that up because, here again, sometimes Gemini just feels like, well, I can color this a certain way. I can make this look a certain way. I can bend all the facts or put a certain picture, a certain story together that is going to serve my purposes. In her case, she got caught and they didn't appreciate her lying to them. Would it have gone a different way if she had just told the truth? Who knows? Would she have gotten off with a fine or I don't know. And like I said, I'm not an expert at that, but I think it's one more indication of Jupiter in Gemini. And in fact, on Cat Show today, she and started out talking about Jupiter and Gemini and the idea that Jupiter kind of blows up whatever it touches, makes it bigger. And then she said, but I don't want you to be afraid. And I would agree completely because Jupiter does blow up whatever it touches. And so that's why we do need to, I just say, be discerning about how we're using it because bigger is not necessarily better. And all growth is not necessarily positive. And I always bring that up because, we think of this, we always use growth as synonymous with great or good or perfect or whatever. And it's not. I mean, what if you have a little growth on your body that's not supposed to be there? That's not the kind of growth that you want. So we do have to be discerning with these Gemini twins in terms of how do we allow growth in our lives? Because growth doesn't just mean something gets bigger. There has to be a quality to it. And that's where I think the Jupiter comes in, because Jupiter is always saying, I want to find more meaning in my life. It's not just about, I want more money, I want more abundance. In fact, so often we get into that kind of affirmation place in our lives. I just want more money. I want more, 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 more. Well, if there's no meaning behind it, if there's no purpose behind it, then it just becomes a black hole. It doesn't become the satisfying thing that we want. And often looking at what is the satisfaction behind it? What do we want? What's the purpose is often more important than how much. It's got to be the combination, in other words. So think about it that way too. But moving on, and we talked about Charles Dickens last week, because a person who has multiple careers, a person who appeals through their writing to multiple groups of people, they don't isolate and just say, this is just for one group. Once again, some of his novels, some of his short stories, some of the things he wrote were very much like being the court jester. Another person who had very different careers, but sort of famous in both realms, Maria Montessori, because she was a physician. But in her training as a physician, in her work, she realized that there was this real lack of having what she considered a good school system. So she became that whole developer of how to teach kids, which ordinarily you would not put with, a physician. But she had two different, very different careers, but related. Which is the other thing I was pushing you all on last week, is how do you take your knowledge, skills, and abilities and you use them in new ways? Because, we so often, and I've told you this too, when I left research, I was a medical researcher, there were several things that I did that I thought I will never do those again because it had to do with medical research. You know what? Not true. Those same skills and abilities got translated into the work that I'm doing now. And I just kind of laughed because I thought, I never thought I'd be doing that again. Like, even all the writing. When I first decided to leave medical research, I thought, okay, all that writing that I did, all that putting the information together, I won't do that again because now I'm going to be on One to Listen and I'm going to be doing counseling or I'm going to be doing talking to people. And as it turns out, I developed quite the career editing or ghostwriting or, writing my weekly article for Mark's Power Peak, which, by the way, I hope you subscribe to. But, and several times I just sat and laughed and thought, oh my gosh, this is something I've been doing since I was a kid. There are certain knowledge, skills, and abilities that I love that I'm just so attracted to. And it doesn't matter what my job description is, I'm going to use those skills. So I want you to see your life that way too. What you're good at or what you really love to do can probably be applied to more fields than you can even imagine. So think about that. So, I would also throw out, how many authors have Jupiter in Gemini? So many of them do. Like Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and he also had multiple careers, but a famous writer. And when we get back into the humanitarian thing, Harriet Beecher Stowe, who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin. So a writer, but a writer with an important message, which is also what we're looking at here. With Jupiter and Gemini, is do you have a particular message? Do you have something that just kind of burns, that you're just passionate about? And that becomes your message. And nobody has to say, okay, or give you permission. You just know that's your message. And you can also do it in very funny ways. And there, I think about Jerry Seinfeld, you know, who has Jupiter in Gemini, or Dorothy Parker, you know, people who are witty or even sarcastic or funny. Once again, what do they look like? They look like the court jester. They make us laugh even at ourselves. But there's also a quality of Gemini that is very inventive, like Alexander Graham Bell. So, you know, obviously, writers have, you know, you'll find writers in having Jupiter in every sign of the zodiac. And everybody's personality is slightly different. But you are going to find an abundance of people who have made their living or have established themselves, maybe become famous with Jupiter in Gemini in media, in writing, in communicating, in being public speakers, in being provocateurs, in being court jesters. You're going to find that as you look at a lot of these people. So now, though, what I want to move on to is I wanted to talk specifically, oh, and by the way, another, I just have to mention this too, I think it's funny. Abigail Van Buren, who was Dear Abby, remember the columnist? I know many of you are not old enough to even know that, but there used to be two columns. One was Ann Landers, the other one was Dear Abby, where people would write in, you know, what do I do? This was like pre-One to Listen, right? That's what people used to do. They'd write to the newspaper and ask for advice. Those Abby and Ann Landers were actually twin sisters, and they had Jupiter and Gemini. And I think that's hilarious because they're just like almost perfect representations of using communication. And they actually were twin sisters. Both of them got newspaper columns and became quite well known for giving advice, for their words, for conversations. And, you know, I actually have a whole other list of people who had multiple careers that maybe we'll talk about them another time. But what I want to make sure that we talk about this week, because it has to do with that Pluto, is once again, going back to, if we look at a natal chart of when Jupiter moved into Gemini last, you know, on May 25th, what we would have seen is that Venus was at 2 Gemini, the Sun was at 5. So Jupiter automatically in this 1 year period in its chart has Venus and Sun sitting right next to it, which I think is a really good omen because I think it has to do with, you know, with the Venus in particular, it says, you know, really getting into your passions, your desires, what you want to see. And so, and with the Sun, which is ego, I think it means that some of the things that we're going to be doing this year, they're not going to be egotistical, but they're going to be aligned with what we see as our own identity. If you see yourself as a communicator, or if you see yourself as a networker, or however you see yourself, you're going to be doing more and more and more of that. And even if it's not in communication, you know, with the Sun, Venus, conjunct Jupiter, I believe that we're going to get into our identities, and we're going to, when we talk about growing something, blowing something up. And when I say blow it up, I mean it both good and bad. You know, making something bigger for many of us as we look at our identities this year and what, maybe what we think of as our purpose. Why did we come here? That's going to get activated because of that Jupiter sitting next to Venus in the Sun at the time that it moved into Gemini. So there again, you may be listening to some of this and thinking, you know, I could care less about networking, or maybe I'm not that interested in connecting with other people, but you're interested in connecting to something. So that's maybe another thing you'd ask yourself. What am I interested in connecting with? You know, what are some of my passions with Venus and my identity with the Sun? Then now Jupiter comes along and says, hey, look, how can we grow this? How can we make this bigger? How can we make this an important part of your story, an important part of your life, right? So think about some things like that. But I specifically want to talk a little bit about Jupiter trine Pluto, that really strong, supportive, wonderful, structural kind of element that is also in this chart of Jupiter moving into Gemini. But also, just because of the fact that Pluto in some ways moves very slowly, Jupiter's not going to be in range of trining Pluto throughout this entire year period. But it's still, if you look at it more generically by sign, it is going to be basically trining Pluto. Now, Pluto is going to move back into Capricorn. It's going to slip in just for a couple of months this fall, and then it's going to be in Aquarius for good for 20 years. So, you know, Jupiter trine Pluto is pretty much going to be there for us. Okay. And so when you look at that and think about, well, what does that mean? Well, what I'm going to give to you is a couple of things that, you know, first of all, that Pluto in Aquarius is social reform. It's humanitarianism, universal ideas, altruism, freedom loving, progressive, experimental, unconventional, futuristic, inventive. And here again, I might hearken back to many of you know that in the United States chart, the one that is most widely accepted, I think, but there's a number of them. It's called the Sibley chart. It has Pluto at the very end of Capricorn. It's at 27 degrees. So if you buy into that chart, which even if you don't buy into that particular chart, which is July 4th, 1776, even because those planets move slowly, you know, Pluto, 27 degrees, it's not going to get too far off of that. So my point is, people have been talking, astrologers have been talking for decades about what happens when Pluto makes its return. A Pluto return happens every 250 years. It doesn't happen to a person, at least not yet, because we don't live that long. But organizations and countries do live that long. And that's exactly what happened to the United States in February, actually in 2022. And so in February and July and at the end of December 2022, Pluto came back to 27 Capricorn. And so if you look at that, Capricorn is about government and structure and rules and regulations and foundations. And what is Pluto? Pluto is transformation, and often through tearing something up, deleting something in order to lay down a new foundation. And I'll tell you, I'm not blaming it on Pluto, but I think that is such a good description of specifically what's been going on in the United States over the last decade, but especially over the last few years. You might even hearken that back to like the tower in the tarot. It rips everything apart so that it can start again. It takes the pieces that it likes, and then it rebuilds to a new purpose. So there again, if you're one of those people you like to historically go back and look at astrology, and you may have already done this, it's really interesting to look at what happened after the United States developed its constitution, broke away from England. What happened after the war? So there again, 250 years ago, when Pluto finally moved out of the Capricorn energy, which is probably a very big factor in the United States coming into its own, becoming its own country, what happened after that? So you might want to become kind of a student of history of what happened when Pluto moved into Aquarius. What did the United States do? What did the world do? What directions did we move into? And remember, it's not going to be identical. It's not identical at all, but it would be interesting. And now with Jupiter also kind of there, I think this is the time to study. This is the time to look at it. But here again, I'm going to give you just a few things that if I was looking at somebody and I was looking at their chart, you know, their natal chart and said, well, what are they likely to be like if they have Jupiter conjunct Pluto? These are some of the things that I would say. And certainly, you know, it's not, I'm not going to say I've witnessed all of them, but if I collectively pull together some of the ideas that I've read from other astrologers, heard from other astrologers, what do I think this energy encompasses? Well, it encompasses honor and patience and unshakable faith. Faith in either God, if that's the way you want to see it, or in the natural goodness of the universe. So you put Jupiter and Pluto together, and it's almost like this strong sense of there being an overreaching, overarching positive energy in the universe that is possible for us to channel. It's about enthusiasm. And typically, Jupiter with Pluto is when people have good immunity, they have good health, they can recuperate, you know, they have vitality. And why? Because even as devastating as Pluto can be, when you think about it as an eliminator or the planet of transformation, it's the planet of rebirth. So if somebody has some strong Pluto, like you see this in Scorpio people, sometimes they just come back from unbelievable events in their life. And I go, how did they ever come back from that? And then I see all the Scorpio in their chart and I realize there it is. It's Scorpio. It's Pluto. Pluto has this ability to rise from the ashes. Remember that? The phoenix rising from the ashes? That is Pluto. So once again, I'm not going to say everybody's going to have good immunity or everybody's going to have great health, but I'm telling you, if there's an ability to recover, it's Scorpio, it's Pluto. You put it together with Jupiter, the planet of, you know, blessings, the planet of, you know, pushing forward and making things positive and finding meaning, you're going to find maybe people making remarkable recoveries or remarkable, maybe it'll be like in medicine or in certain kind of therapies or something. We might see that over the next year because people have an incredible ability to recuperate. You know, this is an energy that, believe it or not, can be very organizational, you know, create coordination and make good leaders. It's an energy that's very optimistic. It's an energy, too, that wants to have an influence, either over your own life or over other people's. I want to make a difference. I want to live on purpose. I want, and it's intense willpower, but it's also highly, you know, in there with spiritual development. And being receptive to new ideas, being willing to go through the evolution process in order to grow. It craves knowledge and learning. I want more experiences. I want to be a perpetual truth seeker, intuitive, capable of maturity. And of course, it's lucky. It attracts opportunities. But yes, as an astrologer, if I see people who have any planet next to Pluto, I know it's powerful. But Jupiter next to Pluto, it's a powerful, powerful and influential energy that we can continue to explore and help us just trust the process that, you know, I want you to know, it's very likely with Pluto in there, things are going to like go askew. Things are going to be kind of like that tower and feeling like they're falling apart. But when they do, I want you to be that person who says, I'm waiting for what the gift is in this. I'm waiting for the recuperation. I'm waiting for the rebuild. I'm waiting to turn this around because it's going to with Jupiter and Pluto. So I'm going to end with a couple of quotes by Sidney Poitier, who was the actor and, you know, did incredible things in terms of, you know, he broke all kinds of glass ceilings, so to speak. But he said, and he has Jupiter trine Pluto in his chart. And he said, living consciously involves being genuine. It involves listening and responding to others honestly and openly. It involves being in the moment. He also said, and this sounds very Pluto, we do not reject our traditions, but we are willing to adapt to changing circumstances. When change, we must. We are willing to suffer the discomfort of change in order to achieve a better future. So I'm going to leave you with that. And, you know, hopefully you will be thinking about this Jupiter trine Pluto because it is a powerful, wonderful energy. But like I said, when things don't seem to be going exactly like you want them to, believe that they're going in a way that's going to end up being very positive for you. It's going to be an evolution. It's going to be a rebirth. So thanks for joining me today, everybody in the chat room and also listening, and or maybe you're listening in the archives. And thanks to our producer, Jay Varvel. And I hope that you will stay tuned for Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone. She's coming up next and is always powerful and always empowers us as we listen to her and join with her. What a great teacher. What a great mentor. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 1-2 Radio. And remember, you can find me on 1-2listen.com. We are changing the way we listen to the world.